This is the Holiness and Victory Over Sin broadcast with Carl Kemp. This is broadcast number 23. Holy Father, we humble our hearts before you. We want to know you. We want to please you. We thank you for full salvation through the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his mighty holy name. Amen. Last time when we stopped, we were in the middle of a study of the first three chapters of my book, Holiness and Victory Over Sin. I'm going to reread three paragraphs from the introduction to the book. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 have much in common. Chapter 1 is titled, A Study on the Meaning of the Hebrew Noun Pesha, P-E-S-H-A. Chapter 2 is titled, A Study on the Meaning of the Hebrew Noun Awon, A-W-O-N. And Chapter 3 is titled, A Study on the Meaning of the Hebrew Noun Kate, C-H-E-T. These three Hebrew nouns are similar in meaning. The New American Standard Bible and King James Version typically translate Pesha as transgression, Awon as iniquity, and Kate as sin. A prime goal for these three studies is to show that these Hebrew nouns include within their range of meaning the ideas of sin, transgression, iniquity, guilt of sin, and penalty for sin. It is quite significant, but it is not widely known, that these Hebrew nouns, unlike the English nouns, include within their range of meaning the idea of penalty for sin. Sin always has penalties, consequences. An understanding of the fuller meaning of these Hebrew nouns will enable us to better translate and better understand many passages of Scripture. For one thing, this insight will enable us to better understand sacrificial offerings. Since our salvation is founded on the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is very important for us to understand these offerings. In chapter 2, we will discuss Leviticus 16, verses 20 to 22. We'll turn to those verses when we finish this paragraph. They are key verses in the chapter that deals with the very important sacrifices of the Day of Atonement. This was the one day of the year that the high priest entered the Holy of Holies with sacrificial blood. The verses we will discuss speak of the offering of the second goat of the sin offering, sometimes called the scapegoat. It is important to understand that when the high priest placed all the awon of the people of Israel on the second goat, he was placing on it all their iniquities with the guilt and with the penalties. This sacrificial goat was then driven to a land cut off from the life and blessings of God. The goat took the place of and bore the penalty for those who had sinned. If the goat had not taken their place, those who had sinned would have been driven from the camp of God. The sacrificial offerings, speaking of the sacrificial offerings in general, bore the sins of the people of Israel with the guilt and with the penalties, including the death penalty. Now I'll turn back to page 15 of my book and we'll discuss Leviticus 16, verses 20 to 22 in some detail. First I'll read verse 20. When he, Aaron the high priest, finishes atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall offer the live goat. The holy place speaks of the Holy of Holies. The tent of meeting speaks of the outer compartment. See Leviticus 16, verses 15 to 17. The altar refers to the sacrificial altar. The live goat is the second goat of the sin offering, and I listed some verses here. It is important to see that both of these goats were required to complete this one very special sin offering. I'll comment briefly on the first goat of this sin offering as we continue. Now I'll read verse 21. Then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the live goat, and confess over it all the iniquities, plural of awon, of the sons of Israel, and all their transgressions, plural of pesha, in regard to all their sins, and he shall lay them on the head of the goat, and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who stands in readiness. Aaron transferred all the iniquities and transgressions of the people of Israel with the guilt and with the penalties to the second goat of the sin offering. Note, and he shall lay them on the head of the goat. After this transfer, the sacrificial goat bore the awon plural and the pesha plural of the people of Israel. See verse 22. These awon and pesha that were put on the second goat of the sin offering were not different than the awon and pesha that were borne by the first goat of the sin offering, whose blood was taken into the Holy of Holies. See verses 15 to 19. The sacrifice of both goats was required to complete this one very special sin offering of the Day of Atonement. Although Leviticus chapter 16 doesn't mention this detail, Aaron undoubtedly also put his hands on the head of the first goat of the sin offering. That would have been standard procedure, and I listed some verses here. And undoubtedly, there was a confession of sin over the first goat of the sin offering as there was over the second goat. I'll quote part of what C.F. Kyle says here. Kyle and Delitzsch, Commentary on the Old Testament, Volume 1. As both goats were intended for a sin offering, the sins of the nation were confessed upon both and placed upon the heads of both by the laying on of hands, though it is of the living goat only that this is expressly recorded, being omitted in the case of the other because the rule laid down in chapter 4, verses 4 and following was followed. By both goats, Israel was delivered from all sins and transgressions. I believe we must qualify the idea that all the Awon and Peshah were taken away on the Day of Atonement. The fully willful and defiant sins were not removed, and I listed some verses here. Numbers 15, verses 30 and 31 say, "But the person who does anything defiantly, whether he is a native or an alien, that one is blaspheming the Lord, Yahweh, and that person shall be cut off from among his people. Because he has despised the word of the Lord, Yahweh, and has broken his commandment, that person shall be completely cut off. His guilt, his awon, very much including the penalty for his iniquity, shall be on him." To be cut off meant to be put to death, as Numbers 15, verses 30 to 36 show, and I listed some other verses. His awon, his iniquity with the guilt and with the penalty, shall be on him. Now I'll read Leviticus 16, 22, but I don't fully agree with this translation. "And the goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities, plural of awon, to a solitary land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness." It is not adequate to just think of the second goat bearing all the iniquities of the people of Israel. This goat was bearing all their iniquities with the guilt and with the penalties. And in this context, the emphasis is placed on the fact that the goat was bearing the penalty for the iniquities of the people of Israel. The BDB Hebrew Lexicon under Awon lists this verse, Leviticus 16:22, under the subheading, "Consequences of or Punishment for Iniquity." This goat was taken from the camp of God, the place of his life and blessings, to a solitary land, to a land cut off, instead of, in place of those who had sinned. It is also true that the first goat of the sin offering was put to death, bearing the penalty for the iniquities of the people of Israel. I have an endnote which I'll read. In the light of verse 21, we can rightly say that the goat was bearing all their iniquities with the guilt and with the penalties, and all their transgressions with the guilt and with the penalties. Instead of "to a solitary land," I would translate "to a land cut off." The Amplified Bible has "to a land cut off," a land of forgetfulness and separation, not inhabited. C.F. Kyle, the commentator mentioned above, speaks of the land cut off. The Hebrew noun I would translate "cut off" is Gezerah, G-E-Z-E-R-A-H. The BDB Hebrew Lexicon under Gezerah says, "unto a land of separation, of the goat for Azazel." We'll discuss the name Azazel as we continue. The verb gezar, from which Gezerah was derived, is used in Isaiah 53:8. He, the Lamb of God, was cut off out of or from the land of the living. If the iniquities of the people of Israel with the guilt and with the penalties had not been transferred to the goats of the sin offering, the people of Israel would have been driven from the camp of God to a land cut off, a land cut off from the life and blessings of God, bearing their awon. Out in the land cut off, Azazel was God, God with a small g. Satan is called the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. A note in the margin of the New American Standard Bible at Leviticus 16:8, 10, and 26 mentions that the Hebrew noun translated scapegoat means goat of removal, or else a name, Azazel. I'll read Leviticus 16:8. "Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord, Yahweh, and the other lot for the scapegoat." But in the margin it says, literally, goat of removal, or else a name, Azazel. I agree with the common view that Azazel speaks of Satan, or an evil being subordinate to him. There was, of course, no idea of sending a sacrifice to Azazel. But this sacrifice of the second goat of the sin offering powerfully demonstrated to the people of Israel that if it were not for the sacrifices of the Day of Atonement, they would have lost the protective care of their covenant relationship with God and would have been driven to a land cut off where Azazel was God. Now we come to the heading, All the Old Covenant Sacrifices, and especially those on the Day of Atonement and Passover, pointed to the one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Covenant sacrifices were effective to a point, but they could not dethrone sin and death. See Hebrews 7:11 through 10:18, for example. I have already mentioned that the Old Covenant sacrifices could not even atone for the willful and defiant sins of the people of Israel. They certainly could not remove the curse of death, either spiritual death or physical death, that had been part of the existence of man since the fall. Death, both spiritual death and physical death, came as a penalty for sin, the sin of Adam, and I listed some verses here. The sacrifice of the Lamb of God had no such limitations. He, by his one sacrifice, has once for all dethroned sin, Satan, and death for all believers. He bore all our sins, iniquities, and transgressions with all the guilt and with all the penalties. He bore our death, a penalty for sin. Now we are born again and have spiritual life. When he returns, all the believers who will have died before that time will be resurrected, and all believers will be born into the fullness of eternal life. It is only through his atoning death that anyone can enter New Jerusalem, and I listed some verses here, including Revelation 21:27. Sin has been dethroned through the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not under the authority of sin, and I listed some verses here. Satan has also been dethroned through the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has no authority over believers, and I listed some verses here. The final judgment of Satan will come to pass at the right time, see Revelation 20 verse 10, because of the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I listed some verses here. Now we come to a study of Isaiah 53 verses 4 to 6. I'll read verse 4. Surely our griefs, or sicknesses he himself bore, and our sorrows, or pains he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. First I'll comment on the meaning of the words, surely our griefs, or sicknesses he himself bore. The Hebrew noun translated griefs is koli, C-H-O-L-I. The New American Standard Bible has or sickness in the margin. The NIV translates infirmities. There is no doubt that the basic meaning of koli is sickness, and I would translate sicknesses here in Isaiah 53:4. I have an endnote on the meaning of koli, which I'll read. The BDB Hebrew lexicon gives sickness as a basic meaning of koli. Out of the 24 uses of koli in the Old Testament, the King James Version translates it as sickness or sicknesses 19 times, is sick 1 time, and grief or griefs 4 times. The New American Standard Bible translates koli as follows, affliction 1 time, disease 2 times, illness 3 times, sick 1 time, sickness or sicknesses 15 times, and grief or griefs 2 times. The only places where the New American Standard Bible translates koli as grief or griefs is in Isaiah 53 verses 3 and 4. Also see the comments regarding Matthew 8 verses 14 to 17 under Isaiah 53:4. I have another endnote dealing with the meaning of koli, which I'll read. I believe sicknesses would be a far better translation than griefs in Isaiah 53:4. Sickness is a more comprehensive term, which when used in its fullest sense as it is here, embraces grief and a whole lot more. Koli includes physical sickness and mental and emotional sickness, including grief. This Hebrew noun is also used in a figurative sense in the Old Testament, as the two following paragraphs will demonstrate. Next paragraph. Koli is used in Isaiah 1:5, which speaks of the condition of the nation of Judah after it had been chastened by God. More severe chastening, however, was yet to come. Isaiah 1:5. Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick, koli, and the whole heart is faint. Isaiah 1:5 should be read with Isaiah 1, verses 4 to 9. Jeremiah 10:19 says, Woe is me because of my injury. My wound is incurable. But I said, Truly this is a sickness, koli, and I must bear it. These words speak of the condition of Judah in the days of the Babylonian invasions and exiles. Read with Jeremiah 10, verses 17 to 22. Hosea 5:13 also uses koli in a figurative sense. I believe we should understand koli in the fullest possible sense in Isaiah 53:4, including spiritual sickness. I'll turn back to our discussion of the words, "Surely our griefs, sicknesses, he himself bore," of Isaiah 53:4. We come to the subheading, "But how did the Lamb of God bear our sicknesses?" He bore our sicknesses when, as Isaiah 53:11 says, he bore our awone, that is, when he bore our iniquities with the guilt and with the penalties. He bore our sicknesses when, as Isaiah 53:12 says, he bore our cate, that is, when he bore our sin with the guilt and with the penalties. To appreciate the two previous sentences, we must understand that under the Old Covenant, which is the framework within which Isaiah chapter 53 was written, sickness, including physical sickness, was typically considered to be a punishment, penalty, chastisement for sin. See chapter 4 of my book, which deals with that topic. We will further discuss the meaning of these words as we continue with this study of Isaiah 53 verses 4 to 6. Now we'll discuss the next words of Isaiah 53:4, "And our sorrows or pains he carried." The margin of the New American Standard Bible has "or pains" in place of "sorrows." The BDB Hebrew lexicon gives "pain" as the basic meaning of this Hebrew noun, makov. The range of meaning of makov covers physical pain, mental pain, etc. In this context, I would translate "pains" and take this word in the fullest possible sense. As with Ber Koli in the first line of Isaiah 53:4, so here, "the Lamb of God carried our pains when he bore our awone, bashah, and cate." Our pains were part of the punishment, penalty, chastisement that he bore in our place. Now we'll discuss the last words of Isaiah 53:4. "Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." The Lamb of God was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted when he bore the penalty for our sins in his atoning death. The Amplified Bible is helpful on Isaiah 53:4. "Surely he has borne our griefs, sickness, weakness, and distress, and carried our sorrows and pain of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy." Matthew 8:17. Close quotation. Matthew 8, verses 14 to 17 are an important cross-reference for Isaiah 53:4. I'll read those verses. "And when Jesus had come to Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were ill, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, he himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases." Matthew 8:17 loosely quotes from Isaiah 53:4. These verses in Matthew help demonstrate that koli means much more than grief, and they help show that spiritual and physical healing are included in the atonement. See below, under the words "we are healed," of Isaiah 53:5, and see chapter 5 of this book, which is titled, "A Study to Show That Healing and Health Are Included in the New Covenant Atonement." Matthew 8, verses 14 to 17 are discussed in that chapter. Now we'll discuss Isaiah 53:5. I'll read the verse. "But he was pierced through for our transgressions," plural of pashah. "He was crushed for our iniquities," plural of awon. "The chastening for our well-being, for our shalom, fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." First, we'll discuss the words, "he was crushed for our iniquities," plural of awon. It is convenient to discuss the second line of verse 5 before the first line. I believe the following translation better reflects the intended meaning. "He was crushed unto death, by our iniquities with the guilt and with the penalties," or just, "he was crushed unto death, by the penalties for our iniquities." "By" is a reasonable way to translate the Hebrew preposition used here. See endnote 8. Just about everything said in chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 of this book supports the suggested translation for this second line of Isaiah 53:5. "The Lamb of God bore our awone," plural. See Isaiah 53:11. He was crushed unto death by them. The wages of sin is death. The Hebrew verb translated he was crushed here is also used in Isaiah 53:10. I favor the longer suggested translation for this second line of Isaiah 53:5. He was crushed unto death by our iniquities with the guilt and with the penalties. We want to make sure that we don't lose sight of the fact that the Lamb of God was bearing and taking away our iniquities with the guilt and with the penalties. He was not just bearing and taking away the penalties. Now we'll discuss the first line of Isaiah 53:5. He was pierced through unto death for our transgressions, plural of Peshah. I believe a translation like the following better communicates the intended meaning. He was pierced through unto death by our transgressions with the guilt and with the penalties, or just, he was pierced through unto death by the penalties for our transgressions. Chapter 1 of this book deals with the meaning of the Hebrew noun Peshah. The Lamb of God was pierced through and killed when he bore our transgressions with the guilt and with the penalties, including the death penalty. Although a different Hebrew verb for pierce is used in Psalm 22:16 and Zechariah 12:10, those verses are important cross-references. Psalm 22 prophesies of the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll read Psalm 22:16. For dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers has encompassed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. And Zechariah 12:10 prophesies of the conversion of the end-time remnant of Israel. I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. We come to the subheading, Commentators on Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. I recommend the commentary by F. Dalich on these verses, Volume 7 of the Kylan Dalich Commentary on the Old Testament, and the commentary by E. J. Young, Volume 3 of the Book of Isaiah, 1981 reprint by Erdmans. I'll quote part of what E. J. Young said on the first two lines of Isaiah 53:5. When we say that the Lamb of God bore our Awon and our Peshah, quote, we are saying that he bore the punishment that was due to us because of those sins, and that is to say that he was our substitute. His punishment was vicarious. Vicarious means that he took our place. Because we had transgressed, he was pierced to death, and being pierced and crushed to death was a punishment that he bore in our stead. Close quote. Dr. Young has a footnote. I'll read part of that footnote. At the same time, if we merely assert that the servant bore the punishment of our sins, we have not done justice to the scriptural teaching. We must insist that in their fullness he bore our sins. Now we'll discuss the words, the chastening for our well-being, shalom, fell upon him, of Isaiah 53:5. These words fit the familiar pattern of Isaiah chapter 53. The Lamb of God took our place. He took the chastening, the penalty for our sins. Through him and his all-important atoning death, believers receive well-being, peace, shalom. I believe we should understand shalom in the fullest possible sense. I have an endnote here which I'll read. The BDB Hebrew Lexicon has 7 subheadings under shalom. I'll list the first 6 subheadings to show the breadth of meaning of this word. Number 1, completeness in number. Number 2, safety, soundness in body, is safe, secure. Number 3, welfare, health, prosperity. Number 4, peace, quiet, tranquility, contentment. Number 5, peace, friendship, and human relations, and peace with God. And number 6, peace from war. That completes the endnote. Now I'll continue reading what I said under the words, the chastening for our well-being, shalom, fell upon him. During this age, believers are enabled to have peace with God, peace with self, and to a significant extent, peace with others, especially with other believers. We have been born again and set free from slavery to sin. See under Isaiah 53:11. We can begin to receive the benefits provided through the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ, including healing for the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. but some key aspects of our salvation, including most of the glory, are reserved for the future. What about physical healing, for example? We will not eradicate all physical sickness from the body of Christ during this present age, but I am very sure that God has provided much more healing than we have been appropriating. See chapter 5 of this book. He is glorified when we are healed and enter into other benefits of our salvation. It is important to see that all of the shalom of this age and of the eternal age to come has been given to believers through the atoning death of the Lamb of God. What a salvation plan! What a Savior! The Lamb of God didn't just bear our sins with a guilt so we could be forgiven, as significant as that is. He bore our sins with a guilt and with the penalties, including the major penalties of spiritual death and bondage to sin, not to mention hell. Through Him we are born again and made righteous and holy with the very righteousness and holiness of God. In His atoning death, the Lord Jesus Christ earned a very full salvation for us, which includes our being glorified and beginning to reign with Him in a never-ending reign. Glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's time to stop. We'll come back to our study of Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 6, in the next broadcast. God bless you. I would like to ask a favor of you. If you're blessed by the broadcast, I would very much appreciate hearing from you. Thanks in advance. I'll make a few announcements. Everything I'll say here and a whole lot more is on my internet site at carlkempteachingministries.com. That's Carl with a K, Kemp, K-E-M-P, and ministries, plural. carlkempteachingministries.com. Individual CDs of the broadcast are available for $3 plus $2 shipping and handling for each order. The first CD has broadcast numbers 1 and 2, and so on. Today's broadcast is number 23. My book, Holiness and Victory Over Sin, can be purchased for $18 plus $2 shipping and handling for each order. You can read extensive excerpts from the book on my internet site before purchasing the book. For the purchase of CDs and or the book, make the checkout to CFC, Christian Fellowship Church, and send the order to Carl Kemp, Post Office Box 1816, St. Charles, Missouri, 63302. The purchase of CDs or books is not tax deductible, but if you would like to help pay for radio time, which would be greatly appreciated, you can send a tax deductible offering made out to CFC to the address mentioned above. My book, Holiness and Victory Over Sin, can also be purchased from Amazon.com. May God's good and righteous and holy will be accomplished in our lives. In Jesus' name.